The Mishnah on the bottom line. Nashim vavarim uktanim turim mikriyat shma uminatfila v'chayovim b'tfilin v'mezuzah chayom b'tfila v'mezuzah v'birkas hamazon. So let's go slowly here. Nashim vavarim uktanim turim mikriyat shma. So in the case of Noshim and Avadim, we have a principle called Mitzvah Seisha Zman Groma. And although the Torah says V'shabuch of Kumecha, it doesn't specify a time period, but it means the Kriyat Shema of B'shabuch and the Kriyat Shema of Kumecha, the Kriyat Shema that's limited in time at night and limited time during the day. Although we actually paskin that the Kriyat Shema Shalaila is throughout the night, but nevertheless, certainly Kriyat Shema Shal Shachar is limited in time. Ketanim apturim from all mitzvahs. You know, you might wonder why the Mishnah had to bother even telling me that Ketanim apturim is Kriyat Shema, but the Mishnah generally does that. Minat Tefillin. So Tefillin is also a mitzvah sei shazman groma. And the reason for that is because we pass in Laila Lazman Tzitzisu and Laila Lazman Tefillinu. And then Mezuzah. Oh. Now, when we get to Mezuzah, it's already something different. Chayovim. Now, what does it mean, Chayovim? So it means the following. Tefillah, I guess, is a mitzvah Seishain Azman Groma. Although we do have limited periods of time, specific periods of time. So the Gemara is going to go through this and see if tefillah is a mitzvah seishah zman groma. But our Mishnah says chayavim b'tefillah. So even if you conclude that tefillah is a mitzvah seishah zman groma, but nevertheless, there's some reason why women are obligated. Now, what's the deal with tefillin?
That's what I thought they said. Like, according to Rashi, they kept Tanim in the Mishnah, because I'm fine, Hashem and Avadim, you can say they're in Putzer, but then maybe you think of Katan would be Chayav or whatever. It says in Rashi, says over here, Kastam Katan, Nene Delishmur, Gufo, Shalom Yafiach Behen. So that's why maybe once you're putting, that's why you want to take Tanim for Tefillin, possibly. I don't know.
And maybe there's a special Chiddush of Tefillin that maybe even in other cases where a katan is chayav min rabbanon b'toras chinuch, but here, in the case of tefillin, they were more careful about it because of the iser of violating kedushas tefillin. Shami Afiach ben Rashi mentions.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about tefillin. Why is it that women are exempt from tefillin? So I have a footnote here. He says that tefillin p'tura, that nashim p'turas mi kriyat shma kevishim mitzvah seishas by groma. So that we have a limited amount of time for Kriyat Shema B'Shavuch of Kumecha. What about Tefillin? Tefillin is also a mitzvah Seishman Groma. She'enin Oheges B'Laila U'B'Shabbos. Okay, and Rashi is going to point this out, that women are exempt from all mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma. Now, as far as Eved Kenani is concerned, our mission is talking about an Eved Kenani who has geirus l'shem avdus, and that's a partial geirus. So he has a kedushas yisrael, which generates a chiyuv of mitzvos, which are lo hazman groma. But the eved has the same status as noshim with regard to mitzvah sei shazman groma, and that's based on a gemara in Chagiga that has a geirus of a lo to equate an eved with an isha. So with regard to an isha, the Torah says v'kas avla. And with regard to a shivcha, the Torah says, chafesha lo nasallah, that he didn't give her get shichur. So we have lo mi'isha, and therefore any mitzvah that a woman is obligated in an eved is chayavin, and any mitzvah that a woman is exempt from, an eved is exempt from. So nashim v'avadim apturim from all mitzvah seishas man grob. Now, why does the Mishnah specify Kriyat Shema? After all, since women are exempt from all mitzvah seishas man groma, the Mishnah could have gone on and spoke about other mitzvah seishas man groma. So the Gemara that we had before on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis speaks about the Ptur Kriyat Shema, because those who are involved in burying the dead or any part of Kavod HaMes are Potter from Kriyat Shema. So once the Mishnah already mentioned the Ptur for Oseik B'mes, those who are involved with the dead, and that Ptur is because Zman Kriyat Shema is a very specific amount of time. In the case of Tefillah, the assumption is that even after they bury the dead, they'll still be able to daven, but in the case of Kriyat Shema, they might actually miss the Zman Kriyat Shema. So that was the subject of the Mishnah, so therefore the Mishnah continues with Kriyat Shema. But yet, the Mishnah also mentions here Tefillin, and then it goes on to talk about Mezuzah, and then we'll talk about Birkas HaMazon. So the question is, why are these mitzvahs mentioned? If we have a justification for mentioning Kriyat Shema, but why, and not all mitzvahs, say Shema and Grama, like Shofar and Tzitzis and Lulav and so forth and so on. So why are these mitzvahs singled out? So the Rashba says the following, that these mitzvahs are somehow hinted, alluded to in the parashios of Kriyat Shema. For example, Tefillin is explicit in the parash of Kriyat Shema, Kshartem Lios Al Yodecha. Mezuzah is explicit in the parash of Ksavtem Al Mezuz Beisek Lishrechem. Birkas HaMazon is not explicit in the parash, but it's implicit because it says, V'nasati Yisev V'sodchol V'emtecha V'yachalta V'savvata. So V'yachalta V'savvata is already a remnant to the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. So the Rashba Shita is that our Mishnah mentions Kriyat Shema. That's the main subject, the theme of our Mishnah, and all those other mitzvahs that I mentioned are sort of agav Kriyat Shema, because they are all hinted at in the parasha of Kriyat Shema. Now, the Rabbi Kivegas says the following, that the reason why women are potter from tefillin is one of two possibilities, either because tefillin is a mitzvah seishah zman grama, or for a different reason. We have a hekesh between the mitzvah of Tefillin and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because in the parasha of Tefillin, it mentions Torah. And women are exempt from Talmud Torah, therefore they're exempt from Tefillin. So it means the following, that Nashim are exempt from Tefillin, we're going to derive from its Aseishas Man Grom. And that's the Sugi Masechta Kiddushin. So that would potter up women from Tefillin. So then we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we need, in addition, or for example, why is it necessary for the Gemara to derive the Ptur of Nashim from Tefillin, like it does from other mitzvah seishas man groma, when we have this reasoning of the hekesh between mitzvah Tefillin and mitzvah Talmud Torah, and that itself imparted Nashim from Tefillin. He says, in the name of Reb Kiva Eger, Adarab, Mikach Shem Noshim Pturus Mitfilin, Lomandu L'Shar Mitzvah Saseishas Man Groma. That Tfilin becomes the paradigm and the Malamed for all Mitzvah Saseishas Man Groma. In other words, we're always assuming that women are exempt from Mitzvah Saseishas Man Groma. How do we know that? And the answer is, since women are exempt from Tfilin, because the Hekish to Talmud Torah, so we look at Tefillin and we say Tefillin becomes a binyan av for any mitzvah seishas man groma. Now, Rashi says in regard to ketanim that stam katan eni yode lishmar gufo. So the Mefarshim point out that Rashi is talking about a katan shegiya l'chinuch, and in this case, the father would have to make sure that the katan could fulfill his mitzvah, because that's the father's obligation to be mechanech his son. But in this case, even though the katan has reached chinuch, for example, the father would have to teach him other mitzvahs. Let's say he's 8 years old, 9 years old, whatever age he is. But with regard to tefillin, we would not impose any obligation on the father to teach his son tefillin, because tefillin requires shmiras haguf, and the katan is not necessarily capable of shmiras haguf. What about Kriyat Shema? Here, it says in the Mishnah that ketanim p'turim mikriyat shema. Now, if we're saying that the chiddush of tefillin is that even though he's higil achinuch, the father is not obligated to be mechanech him in tefillin. So how do we find the parallel in Kriyat Shema? So the Rashba writes that Kriyat Shema, the Chachamim exempted a father from being mechanech his son in Kriyat Shema. Lefisha eino motzi etzlo b'zman Kriyat Shema, because the father gets up early to recite Kriyat Shema b'kumecha, and his child is still sleeping. And the p'tur of tefillin, as we said before, is because stam katan, even if he's higil lechinuch, is eino yodei lishmar es gufa. And the Rashba says that therefore Rashi interprets that we're talking about a katan sheigil lechinuch, because if it was a katan shelo higil lechinuch, then why would the Mishnah have singled out both Kriyat Shema and tefillin? However, Tosus Dibra Maschil uktanim has a problem, and this you'll see at the bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and he says the following: that Rabbeinu Tam interprets that we're talking about a katan shelo higil lechinuch. The lo rach mikriyat shma upatur ella af mikol mitzvus. So if we're talking about a katan shelo higil lechinuch, then why does the Mishnah single out kriyat shma and tefillin when there's no mitzvah at all that's incumbent upon the katan or upon the father to be mechanech his child? So he says, knock out kriyat shma mishum shebeperek zeh oskim. You know, since the subject of this chapter in Masechta Brachos is those who are chayev in Kriyat Shema and those who are potter in Kriyat Shema, so he mentions Kriyat Shema. And Agav Kriyat Shema, he mentions tefillin. So let's just summarize. Rashi's learning on Mishnah, says the Rashba, in a case of katan shegil achinuch. Tosus is learning on Mishnah in a case of katan shelo higil achinuch. According to Rashi, this halacha of p'tur katan is limited to two mitzvahs. Even though the child is chayav in chinuch for all mitzvahs, but two are the exception: Kriyat Shema because he's not around in the morning, and tefillin because any day lishmar is gufo. Rabbeinu Tam is learning that Mishnah is referring to all mitzvahs, and since the katan is lo yigil chinuch, he's potter from all mitzvahs. Why does the Mishnah single these two out? Because the Mishnah is dealing with Kriyat Shema, because the whole perek is dealing with Kriyat Shema, and Agav Kriyat Shema he mentions also tefillin. The only thing I would ask is, and this would require a lot more study, is according to Rabbeinu Tam, if we're talking about a katan shelo higil lechinuch, it's a little bit of a pella that the Mishnah would have to bother telling me that there is no chiyuv chinuch over here, and basically the Mishnah is referring to all mitzvahs and only mentions these two mitzvahs, but it's really referring to all mitzvahs. I mean, if lo higil lechinuch, Why do I need the Mishnah? Halo poshuru shekatan shelo yigil chinuch potur min mitzvahs. But the answer is that there are some mitzvahs where the father is obligated, and even if the child is lo yigil chinuch. For that, we'd have to learn a sugya in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Chaf Ches, and the Gemara there establishes that with regard to the mitzvah Sukkah, then if the child is enu tzarich le'imo, even though he's a very very young age, then we have a chiv to bring him into the sukkah. So therefore the Mishnah wants to tell us that in general the rule is, and we're going to mention Kriyat Shema for the reason that we said before, but if the katan is lo yigil lechinuch, then he's potter. Alright, so let's start the Gemara now. The Gemara says the following: Kriyat Shema. You told me that Nashim are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Pshita. Why did the Mishnah have to tell me this? We have a principle that mitzvah seishas man gromahu. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, and this is sugya in Kiddushin. And the reason why women are exempt from Zman Grama, there's a famous Abu Jaham, he claims that a woman is Mishubedes Labaila Lasos Tzrachav. Her first obligation is to her husband to set up to take care of his needs. And if you be Mechayv her in time-bound mitzvahs, then perhaps at the moment that she has a mitzvah to do, the husband might say he needs X, Y, or Z. So if she's going to do the mitzvah bore, then she's going to forsake her main obligation, which is towards her father. Others say that the reason why women are exempt from Zman Grom is because she has to dedicate herself to her children, and therefore if she would be obligated to time-bound mitzvahs, then she might not be able to give proper attention to raise her children. None of these explanations seem to cover all cases of women, because you're talking about a woman who's married and has children, or if she's not married, she has children. But what about a woman who's not married, or a woman who doesn't have children? Then these reasons don't really apply. So at the end of the day, we could say it's Gzeiras HaKasuv, and we could, you know, interpret it any way we want, but the Gemara Kedushin has this principle that women are exempt from mitzvah seishas mongrov. Is there a havamina that there might be mitzvahs that because of their special chashivus, the Torah would say that because of their special chashivus, despite the fact that they're time-bound mitzvahs, women would still be obligated? So that's what Gemara applies here. Mal the same, I would have said, Hoil the Isbe Malchus Shamayin. Kriyat Shema has a special status. It's different than every other mitzvah. It's really the introduction and the underlying fundamental mitzvah for all mitzvahs, and that is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayin. So we would have thought that women, despite the fact that Kriyat Shema is B'Shabbakot Mechot's time bound, would be obligated. Kamashma, the Mishnah wants to tell us, no, that women are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Then tefillin, pshita, once again, the Gemara says that women are exempt from tefillin because the mitzvah say shazman grom. Again, we mentioned before that women are exempt because of the hekesh to Talmud Torah. So we'll get back to that in just a minute, but let's first understand that the Gemara thinks that tefillin, no less than any time bound mitzvah, women are pturos. Ma'al detema, I would think, ho'il v'iskash l'mezuzah. There's a heckage between tefillin and mezuzah. Tefillin is really wedged in the Seder HaPesukim between Talmud Torah and mezuzah. So before Kriyat Shema, I'm sorry, before tefillin, the Torah mentions Torah, and after tefillin, the Torah mentions mezuzah. So I don't know which direction I want to make the heckage. If we make the heckage to mezuzah, then mezuzah is a mitzvah say she'ena zman grom. So the Torah may have gone out of its way to locate tefillin right next to mezuzah to tell me that tefillin is going to be the exception to the rule, and despite the fact that it's man groma, women are obligated in the same way they're obligated in mezuzah. Kamash malon, therefore the Mishnah has to tell me that women are exempt from tefillin. So here we have a few important notes. First of all, we have a Gemara in Erevin, Adav Tzadi Vavam in Beis, which is very relevant. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, because they hold that this is not a mitzvah as a man groma, and on Shabbos and Lila, we wear tefillin. So you might say, why does the Gemara say pshita? The Gemara says we certainly know that women are exempt from tefillin when there are two Tanoim in Masechta Erevin that hold that in fact women are obligated in tefillin. So we're going to have to say that the Gemara's pshita is going according to that man diomar, that tefillin is a mitzvah seishas man grom, and if it's pshita, that women are exempt. And you'll see this in Tosis Dibra Masfil Lo, which is in Erevin on Daf Sadi Vav Amid Beis. The Rashba writes that the real girsa in our Gemara, the correct girsa, is to take out the word pshita, but rather we should instead of pshita have a girsa of maishna kriyat shma utfilin shanoshim pturos mehem umeshani. And the Gemara answers mitzvah seishas man grom uvechol mitzvah seishas man grom noshim pturos. So that's according to that girsa. And the Riach Chassid says that if the Tanna is coming to teach us that the mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah seishas man grama, it should have told us that halach and hilchas tefillin. In other words, when we're dealing with tefillin, it would have been appropriate to mention that the tefillin is a mitzvah seishas man grama. Lashmienu by hilchas tefillin, Shabbos v'layla einam isman tefillin. Memela, we would know that women are exempt. And it doesn't seem to be appropriate here in this particular place that the Mishnah should have codified the Ptur of Nashim to Tefillin. So again, Enochinami, according to the Riach Chassid, there is a Chiddush in Tefillin because we have two Tanoim that say that women are obligated in Tefillin. And the Tefillin is obligatory 24/7, even on Shabbos and even Belilah. But nevertheless, the Gemara was bothered by the juxtaposition, the placing of this Halach of Nashim Peturis Mi Tefillin right here in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. Now we have a Chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says since we have a hekesh between Talmud Torah and Tefillin, so women are exempt from Talmud Torah, and that's based in the Gemara Kedushin of Limanitim Osum Espinechem, Velo Espinosechem. Therefore, the Gemara has Peshita. In other words, the Gemara understood based on a hekesh, which is spelled out in the Masechta Kedushin, that women are exempt from Kriyat. However, the Tzlach, you know, the view that rejects this Pnei Yoshua, because first of all, this Hekesh is in the Masechta Kedushin, so you wouldn't ask Peshitta based on a Suya elsewhere without even mentioning the Hekesh. And secondly, if there is such a Hekesh, then this Hekesh specifically earmarks Kriyat Shema and says that women are exempt from, I'm sorry, it specifically earmarks Tefillin. Correct? So if you have that Hekesh, then what was the Havamina to say that there's a Hekesh to Mezuzah? In any event, the Tzlach says that all this discussion about the Hekesh to Torah, that belongs elsewhere, doesn't belong here. The Chayav b'tefillah, the Gemara says that women are obligated to tefillah. Why? The Rachmei Ninhu. So we have a principle called Rachmei Ninu, that the purpose of tefillin is of tefillah is to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect us, to save us, to give us health, wealth, and everything else. And women need Rachmei no less than men do. So that's the essence, that's the Mechayev of tefillah. So the Gemara points out that this is a big chiddush. Why? Ma'od de Tamar, I would have said, Ho il ksiv bei, the Torah says, actually it's a pasuk in Tehillim. I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, Erev avoke v'tzarayim asicha v'yehemeh v'yishma l'koli. So at the end of this pasuk, it says, asicha v'yehemeh v'yishma b'koli, which means I'm being mispal. At the beginning of the pasuk says, Erev avoke v'tzarayim. So the pasuk seems to indicate that there are set times for tefillah, and God hearkens to my prayers during these set times, and I have complete bitachon that Hashem will hear my tefillah. So I would have thought, based on this pasuk, that since three zmanim are specified, therefore tefillah has the status kibitzas zman grama dami kamash malan. Therefore, I need the mission to tell me that because tefillah is rachmei ninu, therefore women are exempt. Now all this is based on a girsa, but if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Hachi Garsinon, so Rashi says that we should not have in our Gemara the girs of Pshita. Why? He says, because since the Chiyuv Tefillah is only Derabbanan, and this is a major, major machlokus amongst the Rishonim, but Rashi is committed to the position that Tefillah is only Derabbanan, with regard to Tefillah mitzvahs Derabbanan, we don't find a distinction between time-bound mitzvahs and not time-bound mitzvahs. Every mitzvah has to be judged unto itself, and the Chachamim will decide, they will evaluate whether they should obligate women in that mitzvah or not. And since tefillah is only the Rabbanon, therefore I would have thought that maybe women are obligated in tefillah. And the answer is, Eino Chinami, women are obligated in tefillah. And this despite the fact that it's a mitzvah seishas man grama, but since it's only the Rabbanon made a decision to be mechayev noshim in tefillah, and that is because tefillah rachmei ninu, and women need rachmim no less than men, therefore the Rabbanu mechayev the women. So then, according to Rashi, you have to take out the words ma'u detema, hol ksiv be'erev avoka v'tzarayim, kim mitzvah saseshas man gramadami, kamash malon, take that all out, and all we should have in the Gemara is v'chayav v'tfila derachmininu, which means that even though mitzvah's tefillah is a mitzvah derabbanon, the Rabbanon said that women are obligated in this mitzvah, because in every mitzvah derabbanon, they will decide whether women are included in the obligation. And here, since tefillah is rachmininu, they included women in the mitzvah of tefillah. Tosus, on the other hand, Dibra Maskel b'tefillah, he has the word pshita. And the Gemara says it's not pshita. Why? Because the chsiv erev voka b'tzarayim asicha, etc. It means it's a mitzvah seishas man grama. Because this pasuk tells me that you have to daven three times a day, set periods of time. So zman is the machayev of the mitzvah, erev voka b'tzarayim. Kamashma, the Mishnah tells me that women are nevertheless chayev in the mitzvah of tefillah, because tefillah rachmeinin. So Tosus explains that even in a mitzvah derabbanan, like tefillah, we have a p'tur called mitzvah seishes man gramadami. For example, he quotes a gemara in Sukkah daf lamed ches that women are exempt from kriyas ha-halil, which is only a mitzvah derabanan, and the reason for that is because it's a mitzvah say shazman gram and adarava. In certain cases, the gemara says that we have a specific reason why the rabbanim are machayev the women, even though it's a zman groma, and that's called afhein hoyboso anes. So basically, what we have here is the following: that Rashi understands that in a case of mitzvah rabbanon, we assume, unless we know otherwise, that women are obligated in the mitzvah, and we can only ask the question: why did the rabbanon make the decision that women should be obligated? And the answer would be because in the case of tefillah, it's rachminim. According to Tosfos, on the other hand, it's not at all pshita that insofar as tefillah is a mitzvah, the rabbanon women are obligated. Or, you know, just ask the question, well, why are women obligated? Why do rabbanon see fit to obligate? No. The p'tur of mitzvah seishes man groma that applies in doraisas applies in the rabbanon as well. And the proof of the pudding is from the mitzvah of halil, which women are exempt from because it says mitzvah seishes man groma, despite the fact that it's the rabbanon. So therefore, the Gemara asks pshita. We don't think that tefillah is a mitzvah seishes zman groma, and therefore there's no reason in rhyme or reason why women should be exempt from tefillah. And the Gemara says, no, there's a gevaldige chiddush here in our Mishnah, because since we have a pasuk that indicates that tefillah is a mitzvah seishes zman groma erev avokah b'tzarayim, then the general rule according to Tosfos is that women are exempt from a time bound mitzvah, even if that mitzvah is derabbanan. So the kamash molon is that the Rabbanim made an exception in this case, just like in Dalet Kosos and Megillah and Ner Chanukah, they made an exception because of the principle of Afein Hoyvo Sanes. So too, they made an exception to the rule in the case of Tefillah, even though it's a mitzvah seishes man groma, and they obligated women because women need rachminin. They desperately, just like men, need rachmei shamayim. Now, there's a very interesting tzlach who he wants to say that why didn't the Gemara give the following answer? That since we have a hekesh between the mitzvah of mezuzah and the mitzvah of tefillin, and that was the havamina in the Mishnah that women should be obligated in tefillin, because women are obligated in mezuzah, he says the following. Adarav, he says, Mishum hekech zeh, hayitzorach lomar, shegam bitfilin yu chayovos, shebechol mokum shefshala hakish kulo lechumra, makishin lechumra, velo lechumra. So basically, what the tzlach is asking is that the havamina, that women should be obligated in tefillin, based on the hekech, should really be the maskana. In other words, why doesn't the hekesh override, or we would say trump, the general rule that women are exempt from a mitzvah seishes man groma? The hekesh should really take tefillin out of the general rule of mitzvah seishes man groma. That's the tzlach's question. Very good question. I don't know the answer to that question. Fine. Now, we said that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, even though Talmud Torah is a mitzvah seisha ein hazman groma, and that's based on v'limanetem osam es b'neichem. B'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. Let's go on to Birkas HaMazon. As usual, the Gemara is going to ask the question, pshita, why did the Mishnah feel it necessary to tell me that women are exempt from Birkas HaMazon? It's not a zman groma. I mean, whenever she eats, she's chayav in Birkas HaMazon. So what was the hav meaning that women should be exempt from Birkas HaMazon? Ma'od detem, I would have said, ho il ksiv. In the parasha of the Misonanim, the Torah says, in B'shalach, it says, B'seis Hashem lochem bi'erev, bosor lechol v'lechem v'boker lisboah. When the Torah talks about svia, about being, you know, satiated, the Torah speaks about a meal at night, you know, you eat meat at night, and in the morning you eat lechem, eat bread. So since the Torah speaks about specific times for eating, it's kibitz sasei shazman groma dami and therefore we might assume that women, mistakenly assume that women are exempt. Kamash v'lo, the Mishnah wants to tell me that women are obligated in Birkas HaMazon. Okay, now we have a discussion in the Gemara about Kiddush. Omer of Adbar Ava, Noshim Chayos v'Kiddush Hayom. Dvar Torah. There's an obligation when we enter into Shabbos to recite Kiddush. That's a mitzvah da'oraisa. That's what it seems to say over here in our Girsa the Gemara. And that's derived from the pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros in Yisro. It says, Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the Gemara Pesachim says on this pasuk, Zochreu Al HaYayin. Again, it's a gigantic machlokus where the Kiddush Al HaYayin is da'oraisa, but certainly Kiddush per se is da'oraisa based on Zohar. And the question is, how could Rav Ada Bar Ava obligate women in Kiddush? Amai, mitzvah sheishin v'agromu. It's a classic case of mitzvah sheishin v'agromu. It's only Friday night. V'chol mitzvah sheishin v'agromu noshim peturos. Amar Abai explains why, according to Rav Ada Bar Ava, women are included in the midst for the obligation of Kiddush. This despite the fact that it's Zman Groma. And he says it's Midrabanan. That even though the midst of Kiddush is Doraisa, in the case of women, it's only Dirabanan. Which means that Dirabanan, for some reason, wanted to include women in this midst of Kiddush. And this despite the fact that it's Zman Groma. Now, according to Rashi Shita, the word Midrabanan means that women in general are obligated in all Dirabanans, even those that admit cessation Zman Groma. And if there are any exceptions to the rule, those are the exceptions. But according to Tosfos, the word Midrabanan means that for some reason the Rabbanan obligated women in the midst of Kiddush, even though it's Zman Groma. Only Rava, but Rava says, Tabai, you're not interpreting Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Ada Bar Ava says, and it's pretty explicit, Noshim Chayovas B'Kiddush Hayom Dvar Torah. But Dvar Torah Ka'omar. And this is really a pella, how Abai would say that this Kiyum on women is the Rabbanon, when it says explicitly in Rav Ada Bar Ava that the Chiyuv of Kiddush is Doraisa as far as women are concerned, no less than men. The Odin, furthermore, Rav objects to Abaye, if you're telling me that the Chiyuv of Noshim B'Kiddush is only the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon were Machai of women, even though it's a mitzvah say that's one Rama, so then Kol mitzvah say Nechayvinu Midrabbanon, you've got to give some sort of rhyme or reason as to why we Machalik between certain mitzvahs and other mitzvahs. Certain mitzvahs we're going to say that the Rabbanon will exempt women because it's Man Groma. And in the case of Kiddush, you're telling me that despite the fact that it's Man Groma, the women are obligated. So why not say that all mitzvahs are say it's Man Groma, women should be obligated to Rabbanon? You haven't given me an explanation as to why Kiddush is the exception to the rule. Maybe Kiddush should set up the rule. And the Tzlach wants to defend Abaye, and he says that Abaye thought that when Rav Ada Bar Ava said Dvar Torah, what he meant is that it comes under Lo Tosser, because the Torah authorizes the Chachamim under Lo Tosser. Alternatively, it could be that although Rav is going to present a Hekesh to obligate women to Dvar Torah in Kiddush, Abaye thought that this Hekesh is not a reliable hekesh, because the hekesh always has to be written two things in the same pasuk, contiguous one to the other. Rava has a principle here called bedibur echad, and bedibur echad is going to give me a hekesh even when you have two psukim that are very far one from the other. Elam a Rava, I'm a crow. Why is kiddush doraisa? And it applies even to women, because in the first set of Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael, it says Zohar, and in the second set of Dibros of Aschanon, it says Shomer, Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And since both are B'dibur Echad, therefore we're going to set up a Hekesh, even though they're separated by three different Chumashim. It's called Sheyeshno Veshmira, Yeshno Veshchira of Hani Noshim, Hoil, V'Islu Veshmira, Islu Veshchira. Women are included in Shmira. Shmira means the losases, and it says losasek omolof. And hukshu noshim la noshim l'chol isurim shabbat Torah. Every lav in the Torah includes women. And here it says lo sasu ko malacha, that's called shmira. So the Hekesh tells me that just like they're obligated in shmira and they're enjoined from all the malacha, so too they're obligated in zechira of zochers yom haShabbos lekadsho, and therefore they're obligated in the mitzvah of kiddush. So the mitzvah of kiddush, according to Rav Avada bar Ava, is an exceptional mitzvah to the rule of mitzvah seishes man groma. Now the Gemara talks about birkas hamazon. Amalei Ravina LeRava, nashim are obligated in birkas hamazon do raisa or derabbanan. Is this a chiyuv do raisa or a chiyuv derabbanan? Now pashtus, it would say v'chalta v'safata be'rachta. It's a mitzvah say shein hazman groma. So therefore, women are obligated do raisa. What was it sad to say that women are obligated only min rabbanon and not chayiv do raisa? And the answer is because the Torah says uveirachta ala oretz hatova shenasan loch, and the land of Israel was divided up amongst the men and not amongst the women. You'll ask me v'nos slavcha, they got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, but that was only because they inherited their father's chelik, but there was no direct Yerusha. This is all explained in Rashi here. However, with regard to Kohanim and Levian, who did not get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, or for example, Gerim, or Avadim, for example, they weren't given the land of Eretz Yisrael, do they have the same status as women? So for that we have to see Tosfos Dibrei HaMaskil Noshim, and Tosfos addresses that question. And this is all based on the Gemara later on in Masechta Brachos, on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, that the Gemara is going to explain that since in the Parsha, in the Nusach HaBracha of Birkas HaMazon, it says in Nodelecha Al Brischa Shechasamta Bibsareinu, and it also says Al Toroscha Shimanetanu, is therefore a woman who would bench on behalf of man, is the man would not fulfill his obligation. The reason is because women are not obligated in bris, they're not included in the mitzvah of Torah, and therefore they don't really have an ability to recite that bracha. That's according to one opinion of Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Loi on Daf Mem Tes. And if that be the case, then we certainly would have raised the possibility that women are not included in the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. That's on a Doraisa level. But nevertheless, women are obligated to Rabbanon, as we see here in our Mishnah, in Birkas HaMazon. So again, Ravina was vacillating back and forth. What does that Mishnah have in mind? Does our Mishnah have in mind a mitzvah d'oraisa, or does our Mishnah have in mind a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So the Gemara immediately jumps and says, "L'mainaf gemina." Whether it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan, the bottom line is women are obligated. And the Gemara answers, "Lafuke rabim yedei chovasan." I amrit midoraisa osi doraisa mapik doraisa, but I amrit derabbanan havisha enu mechuyu bedover chol shenu bedover eni motz eno motz yas a ramim yedei chovasan. So the law is the following: we have a principle called yotza motzi and arvus. If you and I share the same level of achiv, then I can be motzi you. So, for example, if we both chayv doraisa in a mitzvah, for example, Kiddush, I can be motzi you in Kiddush. We share the same chiyuv d'oraisa. Or alternatively, let's say we both share the same chiyuv d'rabbanan, I can be motzi you. But what happens if I'm chayv d'rabbanan and you're chayv d'oraisa? So the Gemara says that in such a case, I cannot be motzi you. We have to have the identical chiyuv, because on a d'oraisa level, you're chayv, you're mechuyuv d'over, but I'm a potter min adover, because the whole chiyuv is only d'rabbanan. So now, could a woman be motzi a man? Which again is going to be a sugya later on in Daf Mem Tes, but the Gemara here quotes it in order to justify Ravina's suffering. Ravina wanted to know whether a woman could be motzi a man. The Gemara later on is going to discuss the problem of that women are not included in bris and not included in Torah. But now the Gemara is asking just the fundamental question: are women obligated d'oraisa in Birkas HaMazon? They can motzi a man because they're included in any mitzvah seish ein hazman groma. Or shall we say that although it's a mitzvah seish hazman groma, but it says ala oretz hatova, as we discussed earlier, and therefore women are only chayav d'rabbanan? If women are only chayv derabbanan, then they cannot be motzi men yidei chovasam. Mai. So the Gemara at this point ends up with a mai. And we don't know what the status of women would be at this particular point. The Gemara is going to have to quote some sort of a brisa in order to try to determine what the halacha is. Now let's just mention the following. You could have a chiyuv birkas hamazon derabbanan. For example, the Torah says v'savata, the shir of sviyas is achilas kibetza. So let's say, for example, I only ate a kizayis, I'm chayev, kizayis pas, I'm chayev in birkas hamazon derabbanan. What would be if a woman ate a full shear of kibetza, the man ate only a shear of kizayis? Let's assume, according to one side in Ravina, her chiv is only derabbanan, but his chiv in this case is also derabbanan. So now they're equal, and we can apply the principle of arvus because they share an equal level of chiv. So here we have a gevaldige chiddush of the Rosh. Not everybody agrees with the Rosh, but the Rosh says that with regard to women, they're not included in arvus. And therefore, they cannot be motzi a man, even if his chiyuv, if he ate a kizayis, is only derabbanan. So this is a pella, because if you say women are not included in arvus, then the whole sugya here that we're learning is very difficult. Why is the Gemara vacillating whether a woman could be motzi a man? If she's not included in arvus, then obviously she cannot be motzi a man. So the Gemara says Tashma and quotes a brisa. And the price says, "Be emes amru ben mevarech li aviv, the eved mevarech le rabo, the isha mevareches le baila." So, if a woman's husband doesn't know how to be mevarech, then she will be mevarech and be motzi him. Aval amru chachavim tavo meira li adam sheishtu ubarav mevarechim lo. So the Gemara says the following. It seems clear from this price that a woman can be motzi a man. It's a klala, it's really a humiliation in the fact that she has to be motzi him because he didn't learn how to recite Birkas HaMazon. But in any event, she could be motzi him. Not only that, it says in the price that a ben could recite Birkas HaMazon for his father, be motzi him yidei chovaso. That has to do with the principle called Shomea Ka'oneh. And if his father doesn't know how to recite the bracha, then the son could be mevarech on his behalf. Iyamet Bishleim, the Gemara says, I can understand this brisa if women are obligated in Birkas HaMazon do raisa, the asi do raisa, mapik do raisa. Ela Iyamet Dirabbanan, if you're going to tell me, which is one side in Ravina Safek, that women are only obligated derabbanan because they're not included in haaretz hatova sharnasan la. So according to that side in Ravina Safek, is osi derabbanu mapik doraisa? This is a rhetorical question. So Gemara says ulitaimeich, and if you're going to interpret this raisa that a woman is obligated birkas mazon doraisa and therefore she can be motzi her husband, is what are you going to do with katan? The price opens up with katan, a ben. Bar chiyuvahu? Is he obligated in mitzvahs birkas hamazon doraisa? For sure not. And if he's not mechuyuv doraisa, how could he be motzi the father? Ella, we have no choice but to say that hacham mayaskina, the price is talking about a case, kigon she'achal shi'ura derabbanan, that the father ate only a shir derabbanan. Or the husband, I should say, ate a shir derabbanan, which means he only ate kizayis. He didn't eat kidei sevir. The asi derabbanan, umafik derabbanan. The katan, since he's chayav in the mitzvah derabbanan of chinuch, and he has to bench because of that derabbanan. The father, in this case, is chayav derabbanan because he only ate a kizayis. Let's interpret the same scenario in the case of a woman, that she's being motzi a baila because, although she ate a full shear, he only ate a kizayis. And if he only ate a kizayis, his chiyuv is only derabbanan. And since his chiyuv is only derabbanan, is therefore she can be motzi him. So that's the final line here, the osi derabbanan umafik derabbanan, which means that on a doraisa level, an ochel is not chayiv in Birkas HaMazon until he eats a shear of svir. As it says, v'yachaltam svatir achtam, derabbanan is chayiv even b'pachas mishir. And again, we're going to have machlokas later on on Daf Mem Hey, what is exactly the shear of Birkas HaMazon? According to Rabbi Meir, the shear that the Chacham established was a Kizayis, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Kibetza. And the Gemara has various drushos, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, from Psukim, and all those Psukim are in a smachta because this is all a Derabbanan. Now, Lahalacha, the Gemara doesn't come to any definite conclusion, and there are many, many different shitas lehalacha. Just want to add one last point. When the Gemara says it's a klola, that's because he didn't learn, he didn't know. He's an eni yode levarech. That's a klola. But if he knows how to be mevarech, but for whatever reason he wants to be yotzu with someone else, that comes under a different question. That's not an issue of klola at all. So in all mitzvahs, a person can be motzi, his friend, who hasn't been yotze, even if he himself has been yotze. And in the case of Kriyat Shema, there might be an exception to the rule that you cannot be motzi someone in Kriyat Shema because the pasuk says, "Vishinantam sheikol echad mishanim befiv," and that's Yerushalmi. Okay, so we'll stop here.